still looking this morning at kind of a bloggy sermon, I suppose, if I think about it, because it's kind of like about me, and I don't like to do that. But as I was driving the school bus the other day, I just experienced again, as always, the peace of God, because it's a peace from God, because I have a peace with God. And I was just recognizing my understanding that I have. And I'm not, really, I've got so much more to learn, so much more to understand. Don't get me wrong this morning. But I have an understanding over some things that I never would have had if it had not been for rightly dividing this King James Bible and looking at it from a book standpoint from Paul, even being able to rightly divide Paul in such a manner that we don't fall into the trap of miracles and signs and wonders, because Paul did all those things too. So if we're going to follow Paul, why can't we still do those things? Because this, the King James Bible came along and shut all that stuff down, 1 Corinthians 13:10. So I thought, so I grabbed a piece of paper in the bus, and as I was driving along, see, you can't text in North Dakota, but you can still write down sermon notes as you're driving down the highway. So what's the point? And I just jotted down a bunch of things that I understand. I understand why this is what it's doing. I understand this sort of a thing. And it made me start to wonder about this understanding again. So let's do, I don't think I'm going to get it all in this morning. We'll have some more of it tonight. And it's going to sound like I'm, you know, yakking about my understanding. But we're supposed to have an understanding. And what I see happening, even amongst the Paul gang, is people get so into learning the book. And I'm not against learning the Bible. But it's like when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. See, that's the next thing we have coming up, is the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat of Christ is going to judge our works, not our brain. So we get this great understanding. We get this great knowledge of this Bible. But what in your life has changed? What is now not going to burn when it was all going to burn at one time with you? But now that you're not going to be the one to burn, how about your works? What have you changed that now is not going to burn? And I hear from people that they've got these great books to listen to read, and they've got all these things going on out there. And I just have to say, you know, we have people today know what's wrong. They know what's wrong out there in this country. Well, some of them do, some of them don't. But, you know, the Christian crowd, the modern Christian crowd, they're kind of oblivious to stuff. But those that are Bible students, you know, the Berean crowd, I call them the mid-actors, we got the Paul guys, you know, that understand the rightly dividing thing. They actually understand it correctly by looking to Paul. And they spend all their time looking to Paul. Or they spend all their time looking through the Old Testament. They spend all their time looking through they study this stuff, and they got her down. But their lives haven't changed any to speak of. They probably talk more about the right stuff now, but what have they changed? And that was Paul's big thing. You know, and we'll get into that in a minute here, but this, getting back on track here, Paul said, there's one place, you know, the modern Bibles say to people to imitate Paul. Well, we know that we're not supposed to imitate Paul. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There is one place where Paul says we should be like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says in verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." Now, what he goes on and talks about here is being married or unmarried. So, Paul is able to spend all of his time dealing with himself or dealing with his ministry. And Paul came up with this from the living Savior, of course, a great understanding of things. And we all know that being married, or those that are married, great interference in there. Not all of it's negative. I mean, like Paul says, listen, if you need to get married, he says in 9, if they cannot contain, you know, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. it's sad to say that a lot of marriages are nothing but burning and flames and fire and stuff, but he goes through and talks about this marriage thing, which we'll talk about later as well, because we can have a great understanding about marriage these days. But let's get back to the introduction here. Paul has an understanding. Paul has a joy. And in this realm, we could be like Paul. We could be, like he says here, even as I myself. It'd be nice to be like Paul in this realm. So this understanding we get, look at Romans chapter 11, for those that maybe aren't aware of this thing. Romans chapter 11, you know, it's a very frustrating time. Romans chapter 11, verse 22, and this talks about when the rapture will actually rapt. And a lot of people don't believe in the rapture anymore because it hasn't come, so they think it's not going to come anymore. Well, it's coming, all right. And the tribulation's what's coming. And what we see in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. There's two ways of looking at God. One is as the severity of how he treated the Jews and how he treated the heathen. That's Old Testament reading, that's gospel talk, the whole thing. And then he talks about God's goodness. And Paul's message, we know, is about the goodness of God. Not the threat, not the severity. Paul mentions it, but he's going on the fact that, listen, if you could just realize what God has done for you by sacrificing his own son, which is himself, and what he's done to make us free, what he's done to the law, what he has done to guide us in the fact that we can please God, we could please him now, and he doesn't chastise us when we don't, he just helps us get back up again and get back on the trail. And this whole thing, if we would just realize that, then he's going to continue with the Gentile nation. But we also realize, he says here, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Now to continue in God's goodness is to look to what Paul teaches. It has to be Bible students, that's to be reading your Bible, you know, Genesis to Revelation, but emphasizing Paul's writings because our judgment seat is coming up. Our works will be based on Paul's teachings, Romans 2:16, by Jesus Christ, but he's going to use what he's taught in Jesus Christ. Come on, it makes so much sense. The risen Savior has teachings to us Gentiles that some of which did not teach to the Jews. So we study Paul and we try to apply Paul only in our lives. Now this gets me back to this stuff about where people are reading, but they're not changing their lives. So he says in Romans 11:22 that otherwise thou shalt be cut off. The rapture is based on whether or not people are reading what Paul teaches and changing in their lives and continuing in God's goodness. And it's so few people anymore that understand Paul's teachings. So few. It's rare. And then what's really rare is to find the Christian woman, Christian man, that is, at least in their public testimony, is what Paul teaches. You know, the women, we know all this stuff. We've been over this 1,000 times. And the men, the same thing. And we'll go over that this morning or tonight about the understanding we have of what's going on today. This whole thing is about an understanding I've realized that I have received. Now, from my own studies, I'm not going to sound received. I shouldn't have said that. We look at understanding what Paul talks about here. Although here's one more thought. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm starting to get this way myself. 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm not ready to die. I'm not saying that. But I keep looking at the website, and I look at all the stuff we have on the website. I look at all the teachings that we're going through in the mornings, even though it's a pre-recorded message from 2007 and 2008, I see those as just absolutely fantastic sermons, I guess, because of what they contain. How to understand the King James Bible, how to understand Paul's ministry, and how to straighten people up, you know, from getting caught up in this modern Great Commission. Or, I'll say it again, help the mid-actors get off of their brain and change their personal testimony walk. Ladies get right about being the lady. Men get right about being the man. Fathers get right about being the father. Mothers, let's change this thing about what kind of an example you are to your daughter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this, I mean, I'm glad to come up with a live sermon this morning. You know, if those want to get into it another day or so, you can check out the new place, the new room. Nothing exciting, believe me. Maybe I can, like I say, I can hang that blanket on my wall and get rid of this echoey sound and you'll see some color. But other than that, you know, the video's there for whoever wants to do that. So let's look at this understanding thing. Because I was just thrilled. I started jotting down things that's going on in this world. I really understand what's going on. For example, we'll talk about them later, music. You know, I could talk about that for hours. The direction of education. Now that I'm on the inside again, I feel like I'm just inside the vault of the enemy, you know. And we'll talk, I understand these things. Politics, health and disease, marriages, parenting. Where's my second page here? There it is. I just kept thinking of these things. Religion. Those people that are caught in a snare that are not getting out, can't get out, or they won't get out. I mean, the fighting. We have no more fight in us yet for what's true. Money. The dangers of money and the love of money. Peace of God, pride. I mean, all these things. I just kept writing these things down. Boy, I understand what's going on out there. And it just was like, yes, that's great. That's marvelous. So, in Luke 2:47, for example, Luke 2:47, it says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Okay. Mrs. E.T., there we go. And I'm going to change that just a little bit. I know this is a dangerous thing here. But you understand what I'm saying? All that heard the King James Bible, rightly divided, not me, just heard this Bible, rightly divided, were astonished at our understanding. I'm astonished this morning. I was astonished Friday driving the bus home. I was astonished when I just realized how much understanding and answers I'm able to have for myself. Now, let's look up the word astonished. To fill with sudden wonder or amazement. Overpowering surprise. An 1828 dictionary says, struck dumb with sudden fear. Whoa, what does that mean? Well, when you realize the understanding you have, do we not get this frustration because we want to tell somebody else? But before we even get into the want to tell somebody else, are we not astonished? This is an understanding of what's going on in this world, not just in your own life, but in the world, what's going on in this country. It's an amazing thing what this understanding can do for us. Now, like I say, I've got tremendous more of understanding to get, and I want people to realize that they can go a lot further with their understanding. Now, a year ago or a month ago, I would have said, "Oh, I've got lots of understanding and stuff. You know, I'm learning these things because I've read this, I've studied this, I've done sermons on this and that and whatever." But boy, to come to the astonishing stage, it's just like all of a sudden, it's a sudden amazement at what I understand. Now, we can tell others our understanding, which is what I'm going to do. So this is kind of a bloggy type of a sermon, I suppose. I'm going to talk about what I understand. And some people are going to get it. Some people aren't going to understand that deep. Music. I'm getting off the trail so easily. You know, we got Sousa. And we got piano hymns and things. Some people still don't really understand the benefit or the cleanliness of Sousa music, because they never listen to it. They don't understand this stuff. Okay? But they like to hymn. And that's totally fine. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody. But there's an understanding that is lacking. I went into a supermarket yesterday in Bismarck, and it's called Dan's. There you go, Dan. You got a supermarket named after you. And they were playing piano music of hymns. I thought, wow. I got to write to these people. Maybe they can put my piano playing hymns in this big, massive grocery store. I was really surprised at that. But anyway, the Sousa thing. We'll talk about that later. Get into the music again. I want you to see some things about understanding here. Now, you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, I guess it is. Never get this right. And I never can quote it correctly, so let's just... Oh, I see that our visitors are gone, so now I can relax and quit trying to preach the Paul thing to them. I knew they wouldn't last. Where Paul says, he's troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why is Paul not distressed, even though he's troubled? Because he understands what's going on. Yeah, it's troubling. But he understands it. So he's not distressed about it. Perplexed. Yeah, religion. People that are in a snare. Education. It's perplexing. How can we let these things happen? How can we not get out of these snares? What is going on? How can a woman not be a Paul type of a woman? Why is that so difficult? Because there's persecution, and then our explanations come. And you know what you have? You have an understanding. Why have people lost their fight for what's true in the Bible? Because eventually it comes where you got to change your life. And so you lose your fight. You run out of fighting. Because all of a sudden, you've really got to fight. You're not just talking about it. Education. Well, trouble, sure. Perplexed, sure. But not distressed and not in despair. Why? Because hopefully we have an understanding. We get it. We know what's going on. But I'll tell you, if I was an unsaved person trying to live in this world and this election coming up, man, I'll tell you what, I would be distressed. I would be in despair. This is a disaster, what's going on out there. But hey, we get it, don't we? We understand. And it isn't just because of the chemicals, and it isn't just because of the conspiracy that's going on, different companies and things. It's not because of all that stuff. There is a conspiracy. It's called Satan and the Antichrist getting ready to come. So we put that down and we understand all that stuff. So I'm not distressed. I'm not in despair. I can be frustrated and irritated. I tell you, some of that stuff just gets me, but that's being troubled. I am troubled. I am troubled. And yes, perplexed. Man, how dumb have we gotten as a nation? Anyway, yeah, it's perplexing. But hey, I'm not going to be in despair about it. Why not? I understand what's going on here. So I was astonished the other day. It's like my understanding clicked with me. He says here in Romans chapter 1, for example, we are living in a day when people are without understanding. They don't get it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that he will pray with understanding. He says, I will sing with understanding. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than to do this 10,000 words. He doesn't say jibber jabber. That's modern tongue baloney. This is, remember, speaking in tongues is a language. And Paul would rather speak 5 words with understanding than 10,000 words in this unknown tongue stuff. And here's the big one. Paul tells us to not be children in understanding. It's like a command. We are supposed to, in understanding, be men. We're supposed to get this stuff. Now, here's the big ones. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. One of the things Paul prays for his children, for us as such, is the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. See, we can read these books that tells us what's wrong in America. We can read these books that tells us about, what the devil's trying to get done, et cetera, some of these religious books. And these guys understand what's wrong. But the solution in these books is still a lie. Satan is still using these people to present him when he comes. None of these guys tell people to turn to the risen Savior in a rightly divided King James Bible, listening to Paul as our only apostle. None of those books out there in these bookstores tell people that. So the devil gets happy. He gets you out of your Bible, and he gets you reading these interesting and good books about, what's wrong with America, what's wrong in the churches, what's wrong in the family, what's wrong in the homes, all this kind of stuff. But they still don't have the solution. So Satan got them out of that. Get them out of that King James Bible. It's amazing. You will not get your eyes of understanding enlightened from these other books. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You don't get a hope out of reading these books. You get an understanding of the problem, but you don't have an understanding of the solution. You don't have an understanding that the risen Savior would give to you. Now, in Ephesians 4:18, it says the very same thing, what I just got done saying. Ephesians 4, remember that great set of verses down there? People that think like Gentiles, think like the lost people. The lost world has no idea what the solution is. So if you stay in these other books, and if you stay out in this world as such, and stay out of your King James Bible, you will fit the bill of chapters 4 of Ephesians, verse 17 down to 21, 22. He says that you henceforth walk not. See, walk not. That's the do stuff. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. See, as a Christian, as a Paul-following Christian, we start to do things because we can justify it. We do it for our happiness, for our pleasure, there we go, for our pleasure, and in the vanity of our own mind. Well, we think this is cool, this is great. The styles, you know, the way we dress, where we go, what we do. We get caught up in this stuff. And if we get caught up in this stuff, verse 18 says we're going to have our understanding darkened. And then it goes on. I could preach that thing all the time, too. Someday I want to just start in the morning, not yawn, and just start at the beginning of this thing and just preach and talk as I read through this thing and just do it for hours and days and just be done with it, you know. Why? For people? No, just because I want to do that. It's because of this understanding that I'm excited about. I'm astonished over. Now, he also says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Then also goes on and says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, which tells us exactly, this is from Paul, but oh well, we know that. We've lost our visitors, so we know where we're at with this stuff here. The full assurance of understanding. See, I've preached this understanding stuff before. And I had some understanding over some things. But my understanding list is getting bigger, getting longer. And I'm not having the time to write all these sermons and to put these things. I'm behind on the sermon update list even. I am so busy at the school. Like I've said, I've done everything in the schools a music teacher can do. Big school, small school, good program, stinky program, great kids, lousy kids, small school, big school, small band, choir, the whole bit. But I have never done K through 12 in one shot. And the principal said to me the other day, he said, are you going to make it through the whole year? Because you are excited, you are on a flying high. But can you keep this up all year? I hope so, because I don't want to move again, unless I'm just going to die one, keel over and just, poof, there I am, that'd be fine. But see, I'm starting to recognize more assurance of this understanding thing. Then, here's a great verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, Paul says. That's Paul. And the Lord give the understanding in all things. Is that not exciting? I could say, is that not cool? But I'm not going to say that. Consider what I say, what Paul has told me, I am getting an understanding in all things. Now, let's go over some of these things. But, you know, like you said, kind of a bloggy sermon. But if this doesn't change our lives, especially on the outward testimony in public, then it's going to burn with your brain. It's the walk that Christ wants to see. It's the walk that will please God, not our knowledge. In fact, we know what it says in Daniel 11, right? I'm not giving you guys anything new anymore. It's all there. I mean, let's just pull the old stuff out and see if our lives don't change. He says in Daniel chapter 12, he says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. I mean, man, we're learning tons of stuff. The world is learning tons of stuff. Psychology, education. I mean, they managed to pull the Bible out. Now they're going to go back and teach everybody a whole new doctrine. There's a tremendous amount of learning going on. Boy, if my stomach growl just came across the microphone, that reminded me of the whatever that animal was in. I forget the movie even. The prehistoric movie. What's that called? Man, my mind went blank on that thing. First one that came out, not Star Wars, but it's a big popular thing here. Yeah, Jurassic Park, there we go. It sounded just like one of the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, wow. And he says in 2 Timothy, ever learning. I mean, we are learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what's going on. That is what's going on. One of these times, I got to sit down with my notes. Maybe I'll throw it in tonight a little bit as I talk about understanding the direction of education. And I'll show you what's happened right under our noses. And, I tell you what, my education sermon can be one all by itself tonight. Anyway, so this verse here, Psalm 119:130. The entrance of his words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. What's that? His words. And these words through Paul, what Paul says, we will get this understanding, and that understanding should change our lives. If it doesn't change our works, then our stuff will burn just like everybody else's, but at least we won't burn. But still, we have the opportunity. I know when you're young, it doesn't matter, but when you're up there in years, isn't that right, Andrea and Jeanette? Chris, you're not so far up there in years, I don't think. Amy, you're not either. Bob, you're getting up there towards the top of the towards the top. And Patience, there, you're just a little squeaker still. You know, Sam, you're up there a little bit. You know, we're starting to think more about our judgment seat of Christ because we know we're closer to that than most anybody else on here. Are you really over 50? Well, I didn't know that. Wow. So anyway, our walk is what's going to be challenged, not our brain. So 52, we'll see, barely over 50. Yeah, I wish I was 52. Okay, so with that long of an introduction, Paul's time being over, the website just not seem to be coming up with stuff like I used to. Too busy, Psalm 119. I warned you about it's kind of a bloggy style of a sermon. We looked at Astonished. No, we didn't look at Astonished, did we? A couple of verses on being astonished. People were astonished at his doctrine because his word was with power. Parents were astonished. You know, boy, nothing makes a parent madder, it seems like, than for one of their young people who's old enough to have, maturity in their brain and stuff, to get a hold of this Paul stuff and want to change their life. The parents hate that. I have an understanding with parents that do that. I've learned a lot from that. Paul never uses the word hypocrites because all things are lawful. But boy, there sure is a lousy testimony going on these days. Homeschoolers and the whole spiel. What else we got here? Oh, and then I like it in Acts 13:12. Then the deputy, because Paul was talking with that, silversmith, I think it is. Acts 13:12. Let's check it out. Acts 13:12. Oh, I'm glad when visitors are gone, because they're not going to get it anyway. And I just aim towards them, try to help them get it, try to give some basic things to them. Remember back in Tushy, I would say, if ever we have any visitors, you can add at least 15 minutes to the sermon, because I got to start at the beginning and help them get where we are today. But they didn't stay long, so now we can kind of relax and get into this thing here. Acts 13, look at Acts 13. Yeah, it's the sorcerer. No, it's the sorcerer one. That's the one it is. It's the sorcerer. And, Paul blinds this guy. Then the deputy, verse 12, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the work of at the doctrine of the Lord. So this guy knew that the Lord is behind all this powerful doctrine, and he was astonished. Well, like I said, I'm astonished at this understanding that is available to us. And it isn't just a knowledge of the Bible, it's an understanding. For example, here we go. all this liberated women stuff, all these worthless little wishy-washy men, women working, men not working, it's kind of changing the whole thing around. This whole environmental thing, man, I tell you, you can't do anything without somebody wondering if it's going to affect old Mama Earth or not. And look at what's going on in our food. Look at all the stuff that's happening in food. Well, I know what's going on. You know, in some cases, these people have the right idea. It would be nice if men and women were kind of the same, you know? I mean, I even gave it to the kids at school the other day, and I got one class doing it. The teacher hasn't complained to me yet. I said, why do you girls come when I say, come on, guys, let's go? I mean, you've heard me talk about this before. Turn to Genesis 3 in the meantime. And I got these girls thinking, listen, when I say, come on, girls, who's going to come? You girls are going to come. You boys aren't going to come because you're a guy. So when I say, come on, guys, why do you girls come? So next time your teacher says, come on, guys, let's go, you girls, you stay there. You are a girl. You tell the people around you that you're a girl and you're going to be treated like a girl. Well, they probably don't like to be treated like girls. That's kind of, well, why is that? Well, this world is doing everything it can to prove that God doesn't exist, right? There's no such thing as creation. It's just a big bang or just kind of bopped out of nowhere, whatever. And they're doing everything they can to fight this curse. Okay, well, what curse? You know, the one God gave man, Adam and Eve, and the devil himself? And so I understand what's going on. These environmentalists, thanks for trying to protect this earth, but God will do it fine. In the end, he'll change the place, and it'll be just the way you want it. It'll be fine. It will be green. So relax. In the meantime, get out of here and cut off with your stupid laws about, you know, I mean, anyway. The environmental, okay. We go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's go to 16. Here's what you women are trying to get away from. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Boy, you can take pills to keep that from happening. You can get over this thing that happens to you all the time. I just remember that thing that goes on. And ladies, it's like, man, how can you not believe this Adam and Eve story with what's taking place in your body every month? What an awful thing. That is a curse to the max. I tell you, if anybody knows how to put a curse on somebody, it was God. And I think he really was bothered at Eve because she kind of started this whole thing and he really put it to her. What a horrible thing. And ladies, you want to get rid of that. You want to have the kind of jobs that men can do. Well, you can't because you got to do that thing every month. I mean, you can't do that. Go off to war. Excuse me, I can't, not today. I can't go out there today. I don't feel good. I hurt. See, and this world is trying to ignore that. Then you got the desire shall be to thy husband. That's part of you. We men are your curse. Because you have an inner desire to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. They have fought that, and they fight that to this day. Okay, so there's what these liberated women are against. I understand that. I just kind of laugh. Well, you know, it's God's going to fix this earth. God's going to fix that childbirth stuff. And right now, I know that you are most deceivable when this thing is going on in you. You need a husband. You need a father because you're not going to make it. You can't pull. You don't have that kind of stuff. You're deceivable. Then the devil can trick you during that time. And who's been in charge of all? I'm just yelling now. Who's been in charge of all these modern religions? Who started these things? Women. Now the men are doing all this waving and laughing and all this kind of junk. But it's the women that were caught up. This Pentecostal thing, I can't remember the historical facts now, Zuzu Street or something, Azusa Street, whatever, by Amy McPherson, wasn't done by Frank McPherson, it was caught on by Amy McPherson, you know, that kind of stuff. And it goes on, you know, whatever. And how about the guys? How about the guys here? What happened to the men? Well, here we go. Verse, where's the man one at here? Okay, the Lord's in a serpent. Okay, where's the man one? He should have really been telling Adam, he says, verse 17, because I was, listen to the voice of thy wife, hearkened, then just listen, he hearkened. I was being funny by saying listening, but no, the word is hearkened. That means he responded. You can listen to your wife and not respond. But if you hearken unto your wife, you will do what she says, kind of a thing. Unto the voice of the wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee. I told you, Adam. Didn't tell her, I told you, thou shalt not eat it. Well, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. For in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. That's the man's curse. So I understand what's going on today. Men are trying to get out of this sweat work stuff, and the women are trying to take over. Now, I don't understand that. I mean, I guess I have an understanding of what's going on here, but there's that being perplexed, you know, and troubled, but I'm not in despair or distressed over it. It's like, I don't get it. Why are you ladies trying to do the man's curse? Well, we have to. I know you have to. What a lousy husband, what a lousy father you have that's putting you in that predicament. Well, the government's doing it to us, too. You try to live on one person's salary? Here we are, two people with one job trying to live with two houses. What a stupid thing that is. I'll be the first to say we're in a position because of our selfishness and our stupidity in my family. Won't even go down the details. But see, I understand our situation. And some of you folks are helping us financially, and I'm so thankful for that, because I just don't want to get into this issue of just can't afford losing the house and all that. I know it's just going to burn anyway, but still, you know. But my point is, I understand what's going on. And you want to tell these kids, you want to tell these student girls, you want to tell these boys, man, get your oomph together, guys. And girls, back off. Learn to do what a girl, and learn to please God. Well, how do you learn to please God? By studying Paul's writings. Paul will tell you ladies, Paul will tell us men, how to please God. Whatever else you're doing, it's going to burn. Romans 2:16. Well, you don't worry about it now. You have to do what you have to do. You know, like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, 17, 18, 19, the longer you do this junk, the less your understanding you're going to have. You're going to quit reading your Bible. You're going to quit looking to Paul. You're going to start raising those skirts, lowering those tops. You men are going to start working less and less. You're going to be happy to stay home. Let her work the job. You know, well, I understand that, but it's wrong. And when the judgment seat of Christ comes along, don't tell God, well, Paulson told us to go ahead and just study these books. Paulson go ahead and just live with it. No, you're going to say, like, yeah, that Paulson guy really made me mad because he kept talking about this stuff. And I guess I should have listened to him. It's not me you're listening to, it's Paul. No son, Paul, just Paul. Because he tells us that's what's going to make us through the test of the works being judged. Okay, so as you're trying to live in this world, which we are, it's the man that's got to struggle in this work world. It's the man that has to work out there with the morons. It's the man that has to work with the doobies that are out there. It's the man that has to have a job that actually doesn't please God. We still have to make money. We still have to support our family. He says he says in Corinthians that if you think you can stay away from these people in the world, these fornicators of the world, forget it. You'd have to leave the earth. He says it's that Christian out there that's not doing right. That's the wicked person. That's the one to be careful from. And then, you know, I've got an understanding about that these days. But try to tell that to somebody else. It's not going to happen. And this food thing. I guess that takes me to the next point: health and disease. People get so, and it's really hard to explain to people. It's not because of something you did that you're having this disease or the surgery. I mean, it's not God punishing you type thing. Yeah, something you ate. Well, yeah. Remember when they came up with truth in advertising? Well, you know, they tell us the truth what's in that food. You buy food nowadays, you got this 7-8 inch length list of chemicals that are in our food. And you don't think we're not going to get sick from this stuff? You wash your hair in a chemistry set. Look at what's in your shampoo. Your body lotion. Look what you rub all over your body. I'm going to go downstairs and get my son's chemistry set and pour chemicals all over me. I bet you I'll get really clean. If not, at least I'll smell good. I'll smell like a tree or I'll smell like a frog or something. I'll smell like a forest or whatever, you know. Well, why is this happening? It's not because you've done anything wrong. It's because of sin. We just know that. And so we realize, I can't remember the verse that talks about in Psalms where the scientists are going to get a hold of food, you know. Well, man, they're making food out of nothing. Yeah, well, it really isn't food, is it? What's going on at the schools? They can only legally give food 600 calories. Think of 600 calories. Or 800. Think it was 600 calories. How are we doing on time? I just seem to be wrapping on here because I don't have... I'm so fun to be doing a live thing again, and there's nobody here. There's nothing going on. It's a weekend. Just having a great time. How much time have we done here? It's 10:46, so it was 9. When did we start? 9:30? Oh, man, I'm just rambling way too long, aren't I? Mark, how long have we gone so far? You're good within minutes. Oh, okay. I can go a couple more minutes. So anyway, at the school, they can only feed them 600 calories in their lunch. Well, you know, that's probably a good thing, and the lunches are really good here. But you got these macho guys, these football guys, eating 600 calories. So whatever. It's still federal control. And somebody calls the school up and complains. You know what their principal has to say? Hey, I'm sorry. It's a federal mandated law. Argument's over with. I heard somebody the other day talking about the size of the pop bottles in the pop machines. And it's not just pop, it's tea and, you know, some healthy stuff. And they can't be so many ounces, or they have to, if they put in a bigger bottle, then they got to shut down the pop machine or the drink machine for during lunchtime. Federal law. And I did read about a month or so ago, there was a school somewhere that somebody must have snitched on them because they forgot to turn off their pop machine, and that school was fined $15,000 for not turning off that pop machine for that one lunchtime. Now, how did the feds hear about that? Stuff like, see what I'm saying? We'll get to the education thing later, my understanding of that thing. We're going back to health and disease. It's because of sin. Some people live forever, seems like, 70, 80, 90 years old. And some of them are healthy as they get up, and they've been smoking and the whole spiel. How can you explain that? Well, when they die, they're in major trouble. How about somebody who's young and gets sick, gets an injury? We understand that one. Is it because God's chastising you as a father for what you did? No. Now, in the Old Testament, yeah. When those guys were tossed into the fire, then not only were the guards tossed in later, but so were their children and wife, or wives, I suppose. That sure doesn't seem fair. No, nobody says it's fair. But we're living in a cursed world, Genesis chapter 3. Thorns and thistles. I mean, we got chemicals. We're just, you know. Well, let's go back. What is that? Hallelujah Acres, I think they call it. Let's go back and eat like they did in the garden, and they will be healthy. I don't think so. There's a lot of testimonies of people that were healed. There's a lot of testimonies of people who died, too. So don't go there. We're not living in the time of the garden. There's a whole bunch you could talk about. Food, meat. You know, God talks about this Bible as meat. He doesn't call this Bible veggies. This Bible is meat. Anyway, that's a whole other study on your own, I guess. But we know what's going on. It's sin in this world. In the millennium, God will take care of that. Except in the millennium, people will still be rejecting Jesus Christ. And He'll be right there in front of them. Isn't that something else? I mean, there He is. Oh, I wish the Lord would come back. No, you don't, because you still wouldn't want to change your life. You're happy living in this world. You're happy, you know. You're happy with this stuff. Why? What is it? That's your flesh. We have been separated from our flesh, Our soul and our spirit have been separated, and the spirit we have now is the spirit of God. We still got our spirit to deal with, but our flesh is full of sin. And that's why if we, you know, we get this learning. And this is why people spend all their time reading other books. These other books explain the problems very well. Boy, you can get excited reading some of these books today. But like I said, none of them take you to the risen Savior through Paul, through a rightly divided King James Bible. So, ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Increased learning, knowledge, to and fro, increasing knowledge all the time. But God is not going to judge our brain. He's going to judge our walk. And as we get this understanding, we ought to change our walk. Just like he says in Acts chapter 26, to open our eyes and turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, da-da-da-da. Then it says, repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. We should be doing the right stuff because of what we have this in this understanding. So we've talked about understanding the health and disease thing. We've talked about the modern world trying to ignore the curses. You know, you women trying to ignore the curse that God put on you. Us men trying to ignore the curse God put on us. We go out and spend thousands of dollars on grass seed and weed killer and, you know, this whole thing, and we try to make this, we're growing crops out there by the thousands of acres, and we're trying to overcome all this stuff with machinery, air-conditioned cabs, and I'm all for that kind of stuff, but I know what's going on. We're trying to ignore the curse that was put on us. So we understand that. We're going to talk about understanding music. We're going to talk about politics tonight. We're going to look at what kind of an understanding do we have with marriages, you know, good and bad ones. What's going on? What's going on? How can kids get mom and dad to fight? I'll give you that one tonight. We understand religion. We understand this thing about a snare, why people don't want to get out of it. They're happy within that snare. And just when you're ready to get out, something within that snare is going to make you want to stay. We've lost our fight. I understand that. Money, this whole thing about money, I understand this now. I understand pride, what it does. Only by pride. See, contentious, how's that verse go? I'm doing it right here. Only by pride cometh contention, I think it is. Only by pride. I understand that. And like I say, heaven is kind of an understanding. This is exactly what Paul said. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Your list of understanding will grow more and more as you stay with Paul in your King James Bible. But if you start reading some other stuff and start studying other people and start looking around, get caught up in all the arguments that are going on, trying to win this over the mid-actors and trying to win this over the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Germans and all that, you're not going to get any understanding. You're just going to get in a war, and you're going to hurt people's feelings. You're going to make them mad. You're going to make them hate God. You need to change your life. And we'll finish it up with this. In 1 Thessalonians, this is what we need to have. People need to see in us what manner of entering in Paul's writings had unto us, and how we turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. This is what people need to see. They need to see your life changed. They don't need to hear your brain better. They don't need to hear what you've learned. And that's why I feel bad about this sermon. This is me blogging about my understanding of things. Well, I guess it's just my way of giving a testimony that having this understanding and all these things, yeah, if I do this right, see if I do this right. I am perplexed, but I'm not distressed. I'm troubled, but I'm not distressed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. But if you don't have this understanding, you can get distressed. If you don't have this understanding, these understandings in all things, you can fall into despair. And when you are persecuted for trying to do the right thing, you can feel forsaken, but you don't need to be. But you feel forsaken and you quit because you quit on God. You quit on your Bible. You quit on Paul. And as a result of that, you're starting to get in despair. You're starting to feel forsaken. And before you know it, like it says in Ephesians 4, your understanding is dark and it's worthless. And before you know it, you're done with it all. and you're right back where you were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever. We have got to stay in the book. We've got to stay rightly dividing. We've got to get this under. We'll talk about more of them tonight. I'll be quiet.